As the House Select Committee investigating January 6th gears up for major public hearings next month, it's worth noting that they have interviewed more than 1,000 witnesses already. That's just one small reminder of the sheer scope of what happened on January 6th, the massive array of individuals whose lives have been altered by the attack, from the people who participated in the insurrection to those who tried to stop it, to the family members of criminal defendants now reflecting on what went so wrong. A new podcast delves into many of these individual lives. It's called Will Be Wild, a phrase borrowed from then-President Trump, who beckoned his followers to show up on January 6th. Will Be Wild is hosted by Andrea Bernstein and Ilya Meritz, two journalists who've been covering Donald Trump for years, including in their previous podcast, Trump Inc. But as Ilya Meritz explains, the two projects are really different.
We had been looking at Trump as a presidency that was rife with conflicts of interest and ethical conflicts. We had a businessman president, right? And that's the lens that we took to Donald Trump for 4 years. And the insurrection and the riot of the Capitol really forced us to look at this in another way and ask, what are the systems that were supposed to protect us and in what ways did they fail? So this podcast is a lot less about Trump and a lot more about how law enforcement and intelligence agencies changed over the 4 years of the Trump presidency, and also what the Trump presidency did to the body politic and sort of the spread of anti-government movements, right-wing movements, white nationalist movements that all kind of fed in to January 6th.
Yeah. I mean, this podcast, it tells a story from so many different vantage points. Like almost every episode focuses on new characters, which I know was a choice by both of you. And I want to talk about how you chose the people you zeroed in on, starting with Natalie Jangula and Danelle Harvin. I mean, Jangula is a former Mrs. Idaho, and Harvin was an intelligence official during January 6th. And they had very different experiences on that day. Let's take a listen.
And, I always say that if I could do it again, I would have taken my kids. It truly was that safe because it would have just been a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for them to be a part of something that was historic. And I wish I could have shared that with my kids.
You know, 9/11, Sandy Hook, Hurricane Sandy. I've been in some very dangerous physical environments. This was a little bit different. It was more of a tingle. This tingling in the back of my head.
I mean, diametrically opposed perspectives of a single day. I'm curious, by placing these people side by side in the same episode, how did you want people to better understand that day?
We wanted to show people the lives that were most directly impacted by January 6th. And so Danelle Harvin is a local D.C. intelligence official. He's a guy who is picking up chatter from open sources on social media and elsewhere that a lot of people are coming to the Capitol and that they seem to be very angry. And a lot of them are interested in Congress specifically, right? So that's Danelle Harvin, the intel guy. Then there's Natalie Jangula, and she's a citizen. She's a Trump supporter. She's a lifelong Republican who lives in Idaho and feels motivated to go to the Capitol, in part because the president called his supporters to the Capitol. And for her, the way she describes the event, it's almost like a rock concert. It's that feeling of being around people who are hearing the same music that you're hearing and responding to it in real time. And it ended up being a really impactful event for her because she ran for city council in her town, Nampa, Idaho, and won. So for me, talking with Natalie really revealed that January 6th was not just about systems failure. It was actually a really motivating event for a lot of people who decided to get involved in government, actually get involved in our democracy.
Right. Well, you know, it wasn't only Danelle Harvin who had concerns about how ill-prepared the local and federal governments were to deal with this attack. Andrea, I mean, you did a lot of reporting in this podcast about the missed red flags, the lack of agility on the day of. And I'm just curious, what were you most surprised by as you were learning about how then-President Trump's leadership contributed to what happened on January 6th?
I think the thing that was surprising to both of us is we both were in New York City on 9/11. We covered 9/11. We watched the construction of the whole national security apparatus, the Department of Homeland Security. And we asked ourselves, how could it have failed so spectacularly on January 6th? And one of the things that we found is that there was a trend that predated Trump, a real reluctance to confront anti-government extremism, white supremacy, domestic terrorism, but that under Trump, this trend was amplified, that people were given direct instructions, do not pursue these domestic terrorism avenues, do not put these documents into effect, do not go after this. And it became clearer and clearer that the officials who were trying to protect the homeland were really struggling with what do they do when the threat is exacerbated from the resident of the White House.
Yeah.
Andrea, you had talked to Chris Krebs, who used to work on election security at the Department of Homeland Security. And, you know, at one point during a media appearance, he had said this particular quote about January 6th, "We didn't dodge a bullet. That was a practice run." What do you think now, like after doing all of this reporting, do you feel that we learned enough from January 6th to better stop another attack like it? Or are you more doubtful of that now?
I think in some ways both. When we started this project, I think we had no idea all of the ways that President Trump and his allies had tried to stop the peaceful transfer of power. We know a lot more about that now. We know how there were sort of institutional blocks to that happening that might not be around if there's a second test of this system in this way. But at the same time, we also have tremendous amounts of information. And I think it's sort of a real, we're at a real fulcrum in democracy about whether, you know, sort of people want to take these things and put in institutional guardrails and defenses or not. And I think, you know, we will see how this plays out before the 2024 election.
I do think the fundamental question, though, that Andrea mentioned of what do you do when the threat is being amplified by the person in the White House, that is just a question that is so monumental that we have barely begun to deal with. And I'm not sure that anybody has an answer for that.
So then I just have to ask you guys this. When do you think you will ever stop covering Donald Trump?
I have no idea, Elsa. My goodness. There are always new things to learn about Donald Trump and the world around him.
You know, I think we both feel sort of bound by a sense of duty to the knowledge that we've built up to keep looking at this. But as Trump often says, we'll see what happens.
Andrea Bernstein and Ilya Marritz, their new podcast, Will Be Wild, is available now. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you, Elsa.
Thank you, Elsa.
Great talking to you.
Really good talking to you.